Tvaya Bhagavatottama Yannutanasya Sissasya Srinvanapkatam Muhu. Translation: Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. Purport: Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam navayamanam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santa sadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti. The word santa is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yamshaima sundaram achintya gunasarupam govinda mari purusham tamaham vajami. Brahma Samhita 538. Maharaj Parikit, therefore, is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy for hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shut the door to my room. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I've been here in Vrindavan. I have 5 or 6 weeks just quietly studying, 2-3 people coming in the morning, so this is a surprise. But today I'm going to go to Govardhan in about 7 or 8 days. So I was teaching from one book called Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a very, very interesting novel written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he summarizes the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by telling the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And it's a very, very interesting book, because according to the condition of the person who's coming, whether he's a materialist or a Mayavadi or a new devotee, these sadhus that live in Navadvipa in Godrum, they preach them in Krishna consciousness, and therefore all the basic truths of Krishna consciousness are summarized. It's a very, very wonderful book. But for the last week that I was here, and somehow you're all here today when I'm just starting a new subject, I thought that I would lecture for 1 week from what I've been studying in the Bhagavatam. I started again the 10th canto, and I'm up to Brahma Vimohan Lila, which is a very significant pastime in Krishna's Lila. And it comes right before the time where Krishna goes from Kumara to Poganda. Kumara is when Krishna's pastimes, when he's 1 to 5, just before the time where he takes out the cows. The Bhagavatam, there's a storyline, there's various stories that are told, But there's a There's a storyline that's told, and there's also a message or philosophical story that is told. There are 10 subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first 9 are meant to help you understand the 10th subject, which is the Ashraya or Krishna, without any misconceptions. It brings you systematically. There are 10 subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargas visargas cha statir poshanam utaya manvatara ishakanta narodho muktir asraya. Beginning with creation and then post-creation, secondary creation. Creation is Mahavishnu manifesting all the elements. Secondary creation is how Lord Brahma assembles them. And gradually it comes up to Krishna's pastimes. And the whole purpose of the study of Srimad Bhagavatam and the study of all our bhakti shastras is to free our heart from material attachments and misconceptions so that when we can hear Krishna's pastimes, we can hear them purely. Our nature when we hear things is to process the information through our own conditioning. The intelligence processes information, but it processes information according to the purity of that intelligence. So unless the intelligence has been purified by Tadviti Pratipatena Pariprashnena Seveya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvidarshana. By the proper inquiry, the proper service, and the proper submission. When we hear something, we will translate it according to our intelligence into something slightly different. If you're very contaminated, you'll hear Krishna's pastimes. And due to your misconceptions and your lust, you'll interpret them as mundane romance, which is exactly the opposite of what it is. So therefore, we see in this Shastra, there's stories. But it's a very, very systematic presentation of philosophy to actually gradually purify us and qualify us. Yesterday I got a question about someone who wanted to do a Bhakti Shastri course in New York, and they asked my advice. There's other ways of doing it, and in studying there are many ways. But they asked my advice. They wanted to not teach it from 1 to 18, but teach from 1 to 4 and then put 9 and 10 in that. They had a way of breaking it up in a different way, and they had reasons. They asked my opinion. My opinion is I've taught it in the as Krishna taught it to Arjuna, and I realized that there's a system. It's systematic. Just like in the Bhagavatam itself, even though the 10th canto is the culmination, the smiling face of the Lord, and the highest and deepest meditation, still after Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, he goes out of Vrindavan. So it's a less revelatory presentation of Krishna after Vrindavan. Because Krishna in Vrindavan means the original personality of Godhead. And what is the original personality of Godhead? Narayan, Vishnu, Dwarkadish, it's all Krishna. It's all Krishna. But what does Krishna mean? Krishna means when God is fully manifest. It's the same person. Even ourselves, we manifest different degrees or aspects of ourselves according to the relationship we have with someone. If the relationship is very distant, if we're their boss, you know, it's something we manifest. If it's with our mother, if it's a good relationship, we manifest more. And if it's an intimate level, so Krishna means God in the proper atmosphere to invoke the most intimate relationships where he can manifest himself fully as he is without fear that it would disturb the relationship he has with the people approaching him. Because if you reveal yourself intimately to someone who has and is satisfied with that relationship of reverence and distance, you don't do. So Vrindavan means Krishna manifesting self fully, and therefore some of you must be in the Bhakti Shastri as you studied in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's four qualities that Krishna has that even Narayan or Vishnu doesn't have, where he manifests his sweetness fully. So this Bhagavatam is a very, very, like I said, I was saying about the Bhagavad Gita, so I told the person that as far as I can understand, the scriptures which are coming from a higher platform are systematically presented to give you building blocks of knowledge. Like I explained before, you can't build the first floor unless you have the foundation. And then you can't build the third floor unless you have the second floor. You can't build the first floor. And so they give you an increasing frame of reference and purity to understand things further and further. And it's so brilliantly done. I remember when Burijan Prabhu was teaching the Bhagavad Gita, and in the third chapter, there's a lot of, especially when you're first starting, a lot of information about Bodhi Yoga and how it works, and it's very, very intricate and complicated, and you're struggling there to what is being said and what does it mean. And so I remember one person raised his hand and said, I don't understand. And Borijan said, don't worry, Arjuna hasn't understood either, because in the fifth chapter he'll ask the same thing. So it was such a brilliant answer. Because the students who hear from a proper teacher in a systematic way, they go through the same thing that Arjuna does. It takes time. You don't yet have the proper understanding and to understand it. I was reading in one Indian philosophy book that Srila Prabhupada actually had brought to America via Chatterjee and Dutt. And it summarizes all philosophy, and Prabhupada was quoting it in relationship to Pantanjali, because he was coming to the West and there was yoga. And Prabhupada made a point, that not he didn't make a point, they gave 10 aspects, there's Sadarshan, there's 6 basic Indian philosophies, and gave 10 aspects of philosophy that are common to all aspects of Indian philosophy. Whether they're Gnostic or Astic, whether they're atheistic or theistic. And one of them was that there's an eternal moral order, that the universe is responding to your behavior in set absolute principles of right and wrong. They all have that principle. And another one was about discipline. And the point that was made was that almost as many times as you've injected the wrong conception in your head, that's how many times you'll have to inject the right conception in your head if you want to understand something thoroughly. So there's a system to present philosophy. And maybe in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it hasn't been injected enough times. It's just like you're taking a medicine, and you know the doctor used to tell the doctor what's going on. What's going on? Well, you say, well, you know, you need 5 or 6 doses until you feel the effect. So I'm actually marveling at these scriptures, and it's the way that you actually develop faith. I'm marveling at these scriptures. How scientifically they're presented to mold your consciousness, to transform your consciousness, and ultimately bring you to the point where you can hear Krishna's pastimes and you will be hearing Krishna's pastimes. And that takes some bandhagyan, the proper conception of reality, and it takes a purity of heart. Of course, by Prabhupada's grace, he gave us access to them, but in a very brilliant way, where knowing our minds and knowing our lack of frame of reference due to our lack of culture and material desires, how he explained it and then couched it in that frame of reference so that you wouldn't project all your misconceptions on it. Now, getting back here, so this is also a transition that we're going to hear very, very soon. It's already the 13th chapter, 21 is Venu Geet. We're going to soon hear a very intimate pastime. We're not going to hear it here, and I don't know I'm going to teach it, but theoretically, we're going to hear very, very intimate pastimes that take a high degree of purity and a high degree of the proper intelligence and the proper conception. So, this is a very, very important pastime, how Brahma becomes bewildered, not understanding that the supremacy of God and the supremacy of a person is not his position, but his personality. What makes Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not just that he's the controller, but his personality. He's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first verse by Srila Rupa Goswami is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the complete Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's the complete embodiment of reciprocation in loving relationships. So to understand a person's supremacy by his love, you have to have a loving relationship with that person. Otherwise, you have no access to his supremacy. And therefore, to understand Krishna properly without offense, we therefore repeatedly have to hear about his position before we have that access to his personality. Otherwise, we will certainly misunderstand. So here, it's kind of like a junction, this Brahma Lila, before Krishna then kills Dainakasura and goes out with the cows, and the Lila is starting to get more intimate as Krishna is evidently maturing. So we'll see in this Lila so clearly how that young boy, in the sweetest setting, sitting with the cowherd boys who are whirled around him in a lotus, almost like if you look at it from a distance, sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees. Actually, just like the sun in the center is more reddish and then becomes yellow, that lotus of Krishna, it actually has shades of color. And there's Krishna sitting in the middle of that with all his friends, exchanging with billions of cowherd boys. And each one, because Krishna is not situated in a material distance from anyone, there's no material time or space. The distance you have with Krishna is the distance of your consciousness. So it didn't matter if one was sitting supposedly right here with Krishna or right here or right here. Everyone felt Krishna close at heart. And they were exchanging such love in a beautiful picnic. So to understand that, as the object of worship, this Lila is actually explained, where Krishna reveals to Brahma how that setting, that he has the ultimate Aishwarya and opulence, you should not doubt that just because he is in a form, that form is limited. But within that form is everything, both within him and without him, outside of him. Just like when Mother Yasoda looked into the mouth of Krishna, what did she see? She saw everything, including that which was outside of Krishna. When Mother Yasoda tried to bind Krishna, Krishna was a little boy and he had a little black rope around his belly to ward off the evil spirits. But she couldn't tie him. Therefore, it means he was limited and unlimited. And that's perfection. Now, here in this particular verse, we'll go and we'll try to cover a few verses today. I just wanted to give an introduction. So, it says, Sadhu Prishtam. So, Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Maharaj Parikit as Sadhu Prishtam, or one who inquires very nicely. Because he just asked a question in the last chapter about when he killed the demon Agasura. Because Sukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikit that although he killed him, it wasn't revealed for 1 year. So he wants to now explain Sukadeva Goswami. So he says, Sadhu Prashtam, one who inquires very nicely. Because if we're to enter deep into the Bhagavatam, we have to have an eagerness to hear. And the eagerness to hear manifests in your deep inquiry from a sadhu. But actually, Maharaj Parikit is the sadhu. Sukadeva Goswami is the sadhu. That's why the Bhagavatam is spoken. For example, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita could only initially have been spoken to a devotee, because only someone who was at the exceptional level of advancement could have asked those questions that Arjuna had asked to keep that dialogue going. So both have to be qualified to manifest the Bhagavad Gita, to manifest the Bhagavatam. I'll mention one other point here, which is very, very significant. The first time we see Krishna in both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam is where? In both scriptures. Where do we see him? What is he doing? Is he dancing with the gopis? Is he creating the world? What is he doing? He's on the chariot. In both, the first time you see Krishna, when you're reading the book, the first time you see him, he's on the chariot. And that's very, very significant. Because the chariot means what? Driver is a very low position. Driver is a very low position. Previously in India, no one would drive their own cars, honestly. Driver is very low position. So Krishna took the position of the driver to serve his devotee. So subtly, it's indicating the exalted position of Krishna, that he reciprocates the love of his devotees to such an extent that he serves the devotees. So it indicates his personality. So Sadhu Prishtam indicates our qualification, which is our desire to hear. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha says that he says that our level of advancement is exactly equal to our desire to hear. There's no difference between bhakti and your eagerness to hear. It's an exact correlation. So your qualification, and Maharaj Prickett is going to show this, his qualification for hearing the Bhagavatam, and also, if you look at the sages of Naimisharanya, what is the quality that they exemplify? It's their inquisitiveness. So your desire to hear is your stage of advancement. And as your bhakti increases, you'll want to hear more and more about Krishna. And that's the process of advancing. It's also the qualification for advancing. So here it says, Sadhu Prishtam, you're honored because of your inquiry, your desire to hear. What was the one quality in Srila Prabhupada that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted? He liked to hear. It was here at Koshi. They were going to go on Parikram and they said, let's go see Seshayi Vishnu. And everybody went to go see the deity. Only a few people stayed for Bhakti Siddhanta's lecture. Everybody wanted to see. And later when Prabhupada got initiated, they introduced him. Oh yes, he likes to hear. So you'll see throughout the Bhagavatam, even at the very beginning in the first canto, the first thing that you see after the three introductory verses that explain the glories of the Bhagavatam is the qualification of the guru and the disciple. Because if you want to understand Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, you have to understand the dynamic to do so. And you have to understand discipleship. You have to understand what is a student. If you don't understand what is a student, you cannot learn. Because faith is the precursor for knowledge. So unless one has faith, he cannot understand any subject. In the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, when he initially answers Maharaj Prickett's inquiry, Sutta Goswami answers Shonaka Rishi's inquiry, what is the ultimate and absolute good? And he explains that it's devotional service, and then gives in 20 verses, I believe, I'm not sure how many there were there, but there's about 20 verses, which is the best summary of the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, according to Jiva Goswami. Beginning with you know that verse in the Bhagavatam? Ahoitikyapatiyata yatma savai pum so poro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksaji ahoitiki apatiyata yatma supasidati. And it goes up and it explains further and further systematically until there's a verse explaining what is tattva or what is reality. Vedanta tat tattva vidas tattva yajnanam advayam brahmaiti paramatmaiti bhagavan iti shabdate. What is reality? Reality is advayam gyan, that there is a supreme consciousness of which nothing is different from, who according to your perspective and approach will manifest in one of three ways. Either is Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, and for a long time, I thought there were three absolute truths. Brahman, I thought there were three things. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. There's not three things. There's one thing. And it manifests in different ways. Then the next verse comes, is how do you understand tattva? What is the process of understanding tattva? Tachshradayana munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pasyanti Atmani Chatmani Bhakta Shruta Grihita. There's three things. And Jiva Goswami says this is why bhakti is very rare. There are three things. You must be faithful. Shadadhana. You must hear. Shruta Grihitaya. You must hear and accept the authority of the Shastra and proceed with your devotion according to that, not your own concoctions. And Muniya, you must be thoughtful. That means you should get your doubts cleared. If you don't get your doubts cleared, you'll blindly hear and accept the wrong thing. But you must be faithful. You must be faithful and thoughtful. That's why Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Because absurd inquiries mean you just question everything and not accept the authority, and therefore filter out the consideration of the truth by your own material conditioning. Faith means you cannot consider and understand anything without faith. But at the same thing, thoughtfulness means is if in accepting it, it does not line up with what you believe is true and accept as rational, you shouldn't just accept that, you should inquire and get further and further explanation. Why? Both must be there. So, this inquiry and this eagerness to hear, this is essential for going further. Now he says, Sadhu Prishtam, Maharaj Prakriti is glorified as one who inquires nicely. Why? Because Shrinvan Api Katam Muhu. Again and again and again you're hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And Nutanayasi, and because you are perceiving them as newer and newer and newer. You never get tired of spiritual subject, because spiritual subject is dynamic. It is chit shakti. It is spiritual. It is non-different than Krishna. And therefore, there's no cessation of spiritual subject matter. It's the very nature of bhakti. And that's why humility is so important. I don't know. I need more. To create the mood. Bhakti is ever fresh. You're never satiated. You never come to the point, I know. Because bhakti stops. Just like when there's hunger, you take food and the hunger subsides. The nature of bhakti is the more you eat, the hungrier you get. The more and more you want. And therefore, the more humble you become, because your need becomes more and more. And need means there's some lacking. So the more you advance, the more you feel there is lacking within you. And you become more and more humble. And therefore, in the Shikshastakam, when the verses reach the stage of bhava, the verse is, when will this day be mine? You come to that point. So this is why he can hear the 10th canto. Because his taste for hearing, and therefore his humility, his need, I want, I need, this is essential. And it's new. You always remain a neophyte. You know, so you learn more and more. Now I know. I know this already. I've already heard this already. No, it's newer and newer. It keeps you in the mood of a very humble person, a very new person. So if you have that pride, you have that ego, you will not want to proceed in bhakti. Because you never get to the point, I know, I am learned, I am, but it's no, I know less and less. It is newer and newer. And the nature of prema bhakti is apurvatam, unprecedented. The nature of it is, as you've never seen it before. Every time that Radharani sees Krishna, I've never seen before. Every time Krishna sees Radharani, I've never seen before. It's always fresh. So this is chit shakti. And I think you'll have experience too when reading the Shastra and teaching the Shastra. You see newer and newer and newer things. Reading the same thing again and again and again, you'll see newer and newer and newer things. I've never seen this before. I've had that experience sometimes where I saw something and it looked obvious and I never heard it anyplace, and now here it is. Like one time I was reading the, like even that point where that Krishna, the first time you see him in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavata, I never heard that anyplace, I was just reading it. I read it so many times, and then it dawned on me. This is very new. For me, at least. Krishna's the driver. There must be significance. Why in both books? Why in both books is he appearing as the driver? And then I realize it's the essence. The essence is that when God manifests himself fully, he becomes closer and closer and closer, and even serves his devotees. When Yudhisthira used to ride on an elephant, you know, the procession in Hastinapur, and they were chanting and they had the bands and the processions, there were so many elephants and torches, and he would look back and everybody was with the rice going, swasti, 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 and he looked back and there was Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Out of love, Krishna even serves his devotees. When Hanuman heard, when Narada and Brihadbhagavatamrita came to Hanuman and said, "Oh, you're the topmost devotee," Hanuman was very humble. He says, "I'm not. There's some distance, but with the Pandavas, they're so close to Krishna that Krishna forgets he's God and he becomes their servant. I think they must give him some herb or they must chant some mantras because Krishna is so bewildered that here is God, swasti, 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 swasti." How is this possible? So, this is so important. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, he's addressing Marge Prickett as Mahabhaga. "You are a greatly fortunate personality, Bhagavata Uttama, and you're the best of the devotees." Because of this quality, that he wants to hear, he's eager to hear, and he hears continuously. For 7 days, he is not taking water, he is not taking food, and he's just hearing. I've seen this. There's one of my god sisters that passed away here. Her name was Mother Gauri. She left her body here. And she was a great devotee. In fact, recently I was in Boston and they had the 30th anniversary of the installation of the deities. And Satsrup Maharaj was the president of Boston when that happened. But he's very sick now, so he sent a video. And he started speaking, and then he was showing pictures of that ceremony. And there was one lady that was very close to Prabhupada. She was the head pujari as they're bathing the deities. And Satsrup Maharaj was commenting that we were all seeing Prabhupada was talking and just so intimate. And she died here of cancer. And I was going and reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and other devotees. She was unparalleled. She was they opened her up. The doctor said, you're going to die. She came here. Somehow, some Ayurvedic doctor came. It's a long story. She got better. And what did she do as soon as she got better? She went back to America for the Christmas marathon to distribute Prabhupada's books. What? She not only was good, I mean in terms of it was her consciousness. If you were with her, you would actually see how elevated she was. What's that? You saw her about in her DPG. Very exalted person. Very exalted person. Yes. She would distribute books, and but it was dedicated to Prabhupada. And I saw as she was deteriorating, I was reading, and she was becoming brighter and brighter and happier and more blissful and blissful. I saw that. And I was there when she died on the floor of Vrindavan. She didn't want to die in a bed. And we were all around and we were doing kirtan and her god sisters were putting pictures of Prabhupada by her head, one after another, one after another, one after another. They're putting pictures by her head. And I saw personally, the Ayurvedic doctor came in, checked her pulse. I was in the room, checked her pulse, and the Ayurvedic doctor, he was a spiritual person, he looked at her and said, disease is finished. And he says, you have 1 hour left to live. So I understood what that means. There's no more ignorance in this body. That's the real disease. You have 1 hour left to live. And I saw 10 minutes before she left her body, I saw her look at everyone like this and say, this is intense. She was in such full consciousness, but she liked to hear. Like to hear. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. And there's no way to develop the desire to hear than to hear about Krishna. So, this is giving the qualification. We have 15 more minutes. There's some questions, otherwise I'll go on to the next verse. Any questions? Okay, I'll go on to the next verse, hopefully. These first two verses, and then that's three verses, and then we get into the story. And we'll accomplish something here. Satam mayam sarabhatam nisargo yadartavani shuta chetasam api patikshanam navyavad achutasya yat striya vitanam Ivasadu Varta. Very nice verse. So, this is continuing about the devotee who hears. Paramahamsa devotees who have accepted the essence of life are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts, and he is the aim of their lives. It is their nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment, as if such topics were newer and newer. They are attached to such topics, just as materialists are attached to the topics of women and sex. So nice. So it continues about those who inquire nicely, and what are they called? Satam. They're devotees. And now it describes the quality of these devotees. Again, that same point. If we want to go further, and we want to enter into Krishna's pastimes, and we want to follow him with the cowherd boys into the forest, you have to become like Maharaj Pariksit. And Satam, a devotee, Sarabratam, and what is the Nisarga of these devotees? Sarabratam, they have accepted the essence of life. They've actually accepted life. Because essence is that quality which could not be taken away, the real thing. And what is the essence of life? The essence of life is devotion. Why? Because we are devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that for every vastu or substance, there is a function. And you cannot separate the function from the substance. So a jiva is a particular substance, a living entity, and its function is to serve. That's the essence. And when you act, when the substance acts according to its function, there's harmony, there's peacefulness. When the substance acts against its function or nature, there's disturbance. And that's why there's suffering in this world, and that's the purpose of suffering in this world. It's just indicating the disparity between your essence and your actions. And when there is that disparity, there's suffering. And all the suffering is indicating is you're doing wrong. You're in the wrong place. You have to move in another way. Therefore, Prabhupada says that the fundamental question of human life is why I am suffering. Why? Because you're asking, what am I doing wrong? You're inquiring. And therefore, that's the first part of spiritual life. A little story. I just got a letter from my best friend in high school, who's now chanting Hare Krishna. Not only Indrajumna Swami has best friends that become devotees, I also have that potency. Last year, Indrajumna Swami brought this incredible person, his friend from high school. Like, my friend is also good. And his story is a little bit different. He has some Sukriti because he brought Hare Kesh Maharaj to the temple for the first time. He introduced Hare Kesh to Krishna consciousness. But then Hare Kesh was so heavy that my friend just introduced him to Krishna consciousness, and Hare Kesh heavied him out to quit school because they were in school together. So my friend prematurely left school, and then they sent him out on Sankirtan immediately, and he got pneumonia. And then in those days, either you were in or you were out. So he wanted to be a devotee, but he couldn't stay in the temple. So for 30 years, he left. And now he's chanting. I forgot what point I was going to make on that. See, I got a little bit lost, but forgive me. It may come back. But he... Anyway, so this verse here. The essence. Tato Brahmaji asks, inquiry. They know the essence. And what is the essence? What are the symptoms of one who knows the essence of life? That Artavani, that the aim of his life, Shruti, the aim of his understanding, and Chaitasam Api, and also the aim of all his activities, is to accept the bliss of the transcendental subjects of Krishna as the object and aim of his life. That's someone who understands the essence of life. That's someone who can come in this world and see every crazy thing that's going on to us and others and just go for the essence. If we go for the essence, we'll never be disturbed because that essence is always available to us. But if we're concerned with profit, adoration, and distinction, with controlling and enjoying this world, we'll never be happy because this world does not move according to our pleasure and enjoyment. We'll always be disturbed. Tamal Krishnamurti told me personally, he said, you know, we're always acting that we're going to control the world and then in the future things will get better. And now I don't have my house, but I'll have my house. Now I don't have this, but I'll have this. Now I don't have this prestige, but I'll have this. We're always working, he says, but it only gets worse. It never gets better. It only gets worse. Because we get older and older and older. But not for one who knows the essence of life. The aim and has the objective to accept the bliss of Krishna consciousness, of chanting and hearing about Krishna, because no one can take that away from you. And you always have that available to you. And if you make that aim, then your aims and objectives of life will be consistent with what actually happens. There'll be consistency with what you want to chant and hear about Krishna and what you do. Because that's always available to you. But we have to have the taste. But at least we know that's the objective and we cultivate the taste. And in every circumstance, one who knows the essence. And what is his nature? Sadhu, Bharata, what becomes his actual Prabhupada says, conversation? It becomes his conversation and it becomes his topic and it becomes his topic just as a vitanam, a debauchee who is attached to women, striya, just as his actual conversation becomes striya, a debauchee, vitanam, he's attached to women. And what does his actual conversation become? Becomes women. Just like that, a devotee, one who is a paramahamsa, one is attached to Krishna, his conversation will be Krishna. In this way, the life of a paramahamsa devotee is used entirely for Krishna, just as the life of a person attached to the material world is simply used for women and money. Any questions? There's one more introductory verse. I'll just read that verse and we'll start tomorrow discussing it. And that verse, Shrinush Bhavihito Rajan Api Guyam Vadhami Te Bruya Snigdasya Shishyasya Guruvo Guyam Apyata. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary being, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. So he's explaining here with attention of Avihita Guyam, very confidential subjects. Vadami, I shall explain te unto you. And there's a reason. Why? Snigdasya. Submissive. Like, this word also, it's same thing, why Sutta Goswami is going to explain to Shonaka Rishi. Same word is used. it means melt like butter. It means there's so much affection on the part of the disciple because of the transcendental knowledge he gets. He's so dedicated and so submissive that the guru becomes confident that he will be able to hear these subject matters with faith and without resistance, without projecting his own, without filtering out the truth. He's confident that even though it's such a deep and confidential subject, because of his qualification, his soft-heartedness, his submissiveness, his lack of envy in the heart, he's willing to accept this absolute truth that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he appears in this way and very, very intimate. So it's a very nice three verses introduction. And tomorrow we'll begin the pastime for those of you who would like to come back. Any questions? Okay, because you're all... Okay, go ahead. One question. I want to keep it because there's so many people here. I want to keep it at time because I know people have their schedules and... Yeah. What? The essence is bhakti. What is the quality which cannot be taken away from us? That's devotion. You can take away your position, your gender, your nationality, your psychology. You can take away everything. But when you take away everything that's external to yourself, what is left? It's a devotee. And therefore, Prabhupada said, the perfection of the living entity is called a devotee. That's why Prabhupada said devotee is not ordinary thing. The perfection is called a devotee. And it's very simple because that's what we are. But perfection is the original thing. Just like the perfection of water is water. When you take away everything external to water, you get water. So perfection doesn't mean something new. It's like the perfection of water is not lemonade. Perfection of water is not Coca-Cola. Perfection of water is water. The perfected state of the living entity is called a devotee. Prabhupada says this in the Bhagavad Gita. The perfected state of the living entity is called a devotee. So our essence is that we're servants of Krishna. That's the sada. Like there's milk, and the sada is the cream. The condensed substance, the real substance. If you boil out everything that's external to what's there, you'll get cream. The water will go out, and you'll just be left with the cream, the real substance. So the process of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, because it's service, the essence is chanting and hearing. That's what we have to find in every circumstance. Okay, we'll end here now, and we'll have class again tomorrow.
Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Jiva Jiva Bhad Ki Jai.